He's here, Mr. Dangerous, Bill Hicks. Babe, it's always great to see you. How you doing?
Great, Lynn. Always great to be here.
You're dressed in black, got a black suit, black turtleneck sweater, ultra hip.
Johnny Happy Man. Johnny Sunshine.
Hey, I got some great news earlier today. I just found out that you got a new album coming out, Relentless.
That's right.
From Invasion Records. It'll be out in July. Give us a little preview. What's going to be on that we haven't already heard on the other one?
What's on this is basically it's a work in progress. It's the same themes always. The themes will be freedom and truth. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens under the guise of that covers a lot of the same territory, only more thought out and new material.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the subjects that you address?
Drugs. Rock and roll.
The devil.
The devil. God.
UFOs.
UFOs. advertising. And basically all other forms of illusion on this planet.
Okay.
I'm the balloon puncturer.
You didn't address Nancy Reagan's unauthorized bio from Kitty Hawk?
No. You know, I don't... It's so funny. It's like all this dirt. It's like some big veil has been lifted. I mean, you can hate the Reagans without this book ever coming out, you know. I mean, based on who they were, it was simple enough. Oh, they did bad stuff, too, that I didn't hear about. Ooh, big deal.
So you're real upset about this trash being slammed around.
I tell you something. If someone looked over my life, and they could paint a pretty bad picture of me, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I didn't arm the Contras. Which we all knew about, yet no, everyone overlooks that. But the fact is, ooh, she gave away gifts that were given to her. Wow.
Mm. I bet you're excited about the $93 billion contract for Lockheed to build 648 jet fighters that won't be out until the year 2014. that's like $125 million a plane. And we need it because we didn't have enough air superiority in the Gulf War.
Right, right.
And why spend the money on food and education and building an infrastructure?
I agree. So let's move on. I have no problem with this anymore. Okay. I've come to a great deal of acceptance since I've seen you last. So I realize now it's an inside job. I'm going to live by example. I'm getting off my soapbox.
Now, I often refer to you as the Lenny Bruce of the 90s, and I realize that you never sat in on that meeting where that hook was... decided on, and I should ask you, do you want to be called Lenny Bruce of the 90s? How do you feel about that?
Obviously, I don't mind it. I mean, it's very nice, you know, because to me, Lenny Bruce was like the first guy who went on and talked about things that, in an honest way, it wasn't mother-in-law jokes. He talked about perception, how things are perceived. And that is what I try and talk about, too, perceptions. And in that regard, I don't mind it at all. What I hate is when people think that, Lenny Bruce, he was dirty. Lenny Bruce wasn't dirty. He wasn't dirty at all. And that misnomer annoys me. Mm. But people who say that about me aren't, I don't think, counting the dirty aspect.
Right.
Because most people who do are well up on who Lenny Bruce was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
So it's okay with you?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. What are you going to do? No, shut up. Quit that.
No, because some people might say, he's not the Lenny Bruce of the 90s, he's the Bill Hicks of the 90s.
Sure. Well, that'll come around to help, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how's it going? How's everything going with your exciting on-the-edge career?
Okay. Oh, things are going great. the most exciting thing I have going right now is the one-man show in Montreal this year.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's basically, I'm going to try and lay all my cards on the table for this show, and basically the show is about the evolution of myth and the idea that in order to change the world, we have to change how we perceive it, and I'm going to use all of what I am trying to do and have been for years. I just come to these conclusions, what it is I'm doing, you know, not just comedy, but talk about how we perceive the world and what ways we can change our perception and thus change the world.
Well, that'd be great. I look forward to that. Bill Hicks, our special guest. We will talk with him again later in the show. Our special guest this week is outlaw comic Bill Hicks. Let's talk to him again. Now, what have you been reading these days beside the news? Any books on your list that you should know about?
Well, I'll tell you the last few books I read and see if you're interested or not. I read Tom Robbins' latest book, Skinny Legs and All. I read a book called Jurassic Park about dinosaurs.
Hmm. And what'd you learn?
The dinosaurs are really neat.
There's a new series on television about dinosaurs.
Well, then they're already ruined. The fad is over. When TV gets a hold of it, it's over. I hate having to move on my interest because TV keeps ruining it.
Because they turn it into a sitcom.
Right.
Well, what attracted you to the subject of dinosaurs to read a book on it? Just intellectual interest or...
No, someone just turned me on to it. Said it's a good roller coaster read. A lot of books, when you're on the road, I call them airplane books. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy them in the terminal, and then you try and resell them at the next terminal saying, this page was ripped. They go, wait a minute, this has some of our in-flight turkey on that page. Oh, yeah, I did spill some food.
What's your favorite town to do? Is there a favorite town for you, or two or three?
I'd say Chicago, San Francisco, Austin, Texas. Those are great. West Palm Beach, Florida. You know, there's a lot of great. They're all the same. You know what I mean? That you, once you get a certain level of metropolitan life, the crowds are usually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really neat. I'm really neat. I think it's really neat. Wow.
Well, you're neat also.
Well, thanks. But what I meant was, I think it's neat that people are coming out to see me now, and that gives me a impetus to. I have my crowd wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, and mm-hmm. That gives me a great
impact. What do you think has helped you the most, the Letterman spots? Do you think that has been giving you the most... I think I asked the wrong question.
No, I tell you, honestly, what helped me the most was HBO. When I did a Roddy Dangerfield special like four years ago, and
uh-huh.
People still come up to me on this.
Wow.
And I guess that's the power. I'll tell you what that is. It's the power of not only cable that they rerun it, but it's the power of being yourself, as opposed to going on network TV and having to edit attitudes or material. When you go on cable, you're yourself, and so people instantly, you know, that the connection is made.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a lot of sets to develop who you are for people.
Mm-hmm.
Couching your material in safe, you know, safe
right.
parameters.
Right. You know, I was mentioning earlier that
could you mention also that I'm funny? Because I realized during half of this that I feel like I'm running for the post of savior here.
No, we're going to get into the funny stuff. We better get into some funny stuff. We're going to get lots of letters. When I saw you in New York, don't worry about it. Everything's going to flow naturally. The humor will derive in the pursuit of value.
Well, now, this is an interesting little lesson on how painful it can be, that process.
Yeah, a lot of funny things have popped out. I didn't even realize. When I edit this down to its best funny 10 minutes.
You're going to go, screw it. We'll use the old interview. The one where Bill was still hungry. When he came in here with bits on stuff. What is this guy? What have people been feeding him out there on the road?
You know, when I saw you in New York recently, and you mentioned your favorite cities to perform, and you did not mention New York City, and you said, "Well, this is raw data, just a question. That's all. I have no investment here." But when I saw you in New York, you had this attitude toward the audience. I mean, your show was brilliant, and I loved it, and everybody loved it. But in it was an attitude toward the audience for being New Yorkers, and I was curious about that. In fact, I'm so curious, I'm asking you now.
Well, I'll tell you, when I moved up here, I had this idea of New York being a sophisticated, intellectual, liberal city. And when I got here, I found very conservative and very uptight people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And they are. I don't know what it is. And people go, oh, they're jaded. Well, no one's more jaded than me, not even the great city of New York. Sorry, I have my long suit is cynicism.
Uh-huh.
And yet, when I can't, when I say something, it bugs me. When people come to the club stepping over bums and wading through dog urine and come in and I say something on stage that offends them. You know what I mean? Ooh, did he say that? Well, you just walked over a dead person to get in here. Get a priority list. And they're so blinded by their own life, and they believe that it all exists only, and then there's nothing over that river. Well, I got news for you. And I don't even want to tell New Yorkers this. There's a big country across that river, and it's real cheap, okay? And it's real clean. And get this. You bump into people, they say, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Sleep tight and dwell on that, New York. But I often want to bring back from the road real estate ads from every paper, just read them on stage and just laugh and laugh.
At the prices.
Right. Three-bedroom mm-hmm. house, jacuzzi, pool, hold on, garage, free parking, $300 a month. Thank you very much. And just laugh. And they won't believe it. What? No way.
In New York, it costs $300 a month to rent a jacuzzi. Our special guest this week, Bill Hicks. If you ever have a chance to catch Bill live, don't miss it.